Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. We're two comedians and we sit in Graham's apartment and argue about autism, basketball, life, hair care products, dating, credit card bills.
We mostly agree.
That's actually true.
I think.
Yeah, we have autism in our lives. My only son, who's 21 now, severely autistic, and then Graham has a brother, Peter, who is, I would say, milder. A little bit milder autism.
In the middle.
Compared to my son.
So, we'll do a week in review, I guess?
Yeah, we got an interesting letter this week that we wanted to cover in our week in review, and it was addressed to Graham, so I'm going to let Graham take it away here.
Yeah, I got a letter in the mail from a concerned mother just asking general question that I'm sure a lot of you parents listening to this podcast are dealing with as well. She writes, I am a mother who listens to your Autastic podcast regularly. My 12-year-old son is dealing with bullying in his middle school. He wasn't forthright about it at first. It wasn't until he started telling me and his school counselors that he has been thinking about killing himself, and those thoughts are scaring him. He is very impulsive and does not know if he can stop himself. We took this very seriously and took him to see a psychiatrist to see if he could be a reaction from some of his medication. He has been taking Vyvanse for his ADHD and Sertraline for his anxiety for over a year. But this is the first time he has had suicidal ideation, from what he tells us. The psychiatrist does not think it's caused from the medication. Her son then told us that the group of bullies have been pushing him around the hallways every day for the past couple of weeks. My husband and I are meeting with the school administration tomorrow to discuss ways to keep Tony safe. They should have better hall monitoring, and maybe Tony could have a buddy walk him between classes. I think he's an easy target because he does not have many friends. Her son does not like to ask for help, but maybe a buddy would get help, would be able to help him. Anyhow, this is her. I know you have mentioned in the past that your brother was bullied in school and that it still affects him today. I would be interested in hearing what the school and your parents did in that situation at the time, or maybe what they wish they had done differently. My husband thinks that her son should learn mixed martial arts to defend himself, but I think it's unfair to expect an underweight, uncoordinated son to stand up for himself when he won't even speak out. My husband tells me he is it's a guy thing. Not that he's trying to be macho. He said that their son won't have his mummy around. So this is the father saying, won't have his mummy around when he's an adult to fight his battles. I think in some ways my husband is still in denial about the extent of the son's disability. I asked my mother. I sent her some snippets of that. My mother wrote back, the sad truth is that we did not know about the bullying at the time. The high school he went to was rough. It had all the immigrant kids who knew very little English, the kids who were going through the vocational program and non-academic side, and then the class of special needs kids right in the middle of this. When we would go to the school for parent-teacher interviews, we were always told that the special class was isolated from the rest of the school because there was recognition that these kids were more vulnerable and less streetwise. Peter always said he liked his class and classmates and never said he was bullied. He also was not on the big bus going to school. He was picked up in a small van and really liked his drivers. It was only after Peter graduated and was no longer there that he started talking about the past and how he did not like that school and had bad memories. And because this has persisted for so long, we got him counseling. And so to this day, we suspect in quotes, bullying, but he has never told us anything, and his counselor won't tell us one way or the other because of patient confidentiality. So in retrospect, because he really did not want to talk much about school, I should have reached out to the teachers more and done a bit more digging. That's all I can say. My mother writes, sorry, I can't be more of help. And then I wrote back, you know, my personal opinion, me, Graham, and I'm absolutely not an expert, is that martial arts and defense training is valuable for confidence and physical activity and community and teaching restraint as well. But I also said, I don't know your son, and good luck. Like, teens are very hard. Peter was very hard at that age. I was very hard at that age. I did not have autism, and I thought about killing myself at 12.
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean, it was just really tough being, you know, I have disabilities, learning disabilities, yeah. And it was really, really frustrating, and there was the odd bully here or there, but these are...
Well, respectfully, it helps that you're bigger than most people.
Yes.
You know, like, if, because she's talking about him being smaller, if you were the same experience, just not even saying you have autism, but if you, the learning disability, just where you're at now, and yes. You're 40 pounds lighter, makes it harder.
Absolutely. I'm saying I had trouble even though I was more advanced, physically, whatever. Thank you so much for the letter. I really do appreciate that. And I think that other parents listening to this can relate to that. So that's why I wanted to read that, just to let the overall theme of this podcast is you're not alone. If there was one thing that I hope we accomplish, and it's a really tough thing. It's a really tough thing. But I'm not the father. I'm not the parent on this podcast. You are, Kirk. What do you think?
A couple things. We went through this thing when we lived in the Bronx. This would have been 7 years ago, maybe. So JJ was just, he's big now, but he didn't get big until he's about 13 is when he really started to grow. And before that, he was like, I'll post some pictures or you can look through my old Instagram feed. He was such a sweet boy and not into sports, so not physical. Clearly has the raw data to be physical if he wanted to be physical, and if we could have, you know, he's missing some other components to really teach him about sports. But we went through a thing where he would get off the bus and he was all scuffed up and he doesn't talk. He's nonverbal at all. And so, you know, at first it was like, huh, he's got like a couple little scratches and a bruise. Turns out somebody was like physically bullying him.
Oh my God.
And he had a couple of...
you never told me this.
Yeah, we talked about this on the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, that's part of your disability. You don't remember anything.
I don't. It's also 206 episodes.
I know, I'm just teasing. A little humor because it's such a hard subject matter for me. But, I have a little... Something's clearly wrong with me. I get very angry, and so I was hot. I was hot. So we met to meet with the teachers, for us, we determined that it was happening on the bus, and it was this other kid who we know, because eventually what happened was eventually they had to separate him because this kid would come and physically attack him. And yeah, it still makes me angry thinking about it now. And the irony of it is my son, if I could have taught him to defend himself, would have beat the snot out of this other kid, which isn't the solution, I know, but... It would have given the kid pause if every time he tried to approach this kid, he popped right in the nose. But anyway, it's a different issue. My son is too intellectually disabled to teach him the self-defense. On the self-defense thing, I was a very petite young man, tall, but I was very skinny, and I was bullied quite a bit. That's probably why I'm probably a comedian. And I went to 8 schools, like 3 high schools. So I had to fight a lot. So I remember specifically... when we moved this back to El Salvador the second time, just getting a lot of fights, and my dad enrolled me in, I think the first one was Taekwondo. We tried a few things, and it was like, I think you hit it on the head with what you said. It gives you confidence, and it kind of teaches you, this sounds weird, and but the men who listen to this podcast might get it more than women. It'll teach you that you can be punched and you're going to be fine. Like, you can be punched and it's not the end of the world. It's not great. It hurts. Mm. But there's no, it takes away that fear. Like, well, what if he punches me? You've been punched. You went to you went to go spar. You went to go fight. And people punch you. And it's like, yeah, it happens. It's, and then you roll with it. And I think it gives you a lot of confidence. I mean, you hit it on the head. I think it gives you, even if it doesn't allow him to defend himself to where he can beat the other kid up, I think it teaches you like how the physical interaction will go. And it's like, it's fine.
And anything, any kind of sport that you play is good for your brain and for your body. You know, it's just I think all around a good thing. But I talked to my brother. I called him up and I was like, I gave him the gist of this letter, and I was like, well, would you wish that you would learn karate and be like a ninja? You gotta phrase it for him like that. And he goes, well, I don't know if that would be a good idea, Graham, because then I could get very badly hurt. You know, like the Ninja Turtles, they would get hurt sometimes too. And which I think is brilliant.
It's funny.
He goes, maybe if I was Spider-Man, that I could be okay then, because I could, I could tie them up and kick them and then go away and swing away.
But I do think there's something powerful about, and maybe I'm too old school, but I think there's something, I'm not saying throw your defenseless kid in there with people that weigh him for 50 pounds, by 50 pounds, have him spar. But just learning to block a punch, to roll a punch, to duck out of the way of a punch, to roll a punch and then come back with a quick jab. I don't know. I think there's something of value to that that will give him some confidence. And I really believe, for me, like when I finally figured out that I can get hurt, but also I could also just take the punch and not get hurt. Like that's not.
Also, when you hit a bully, they don't do it anymore.
Not usually. Yeah, they don't usually. They don't like that. Even when if they beat you up, I remember a couple times I got beat up bad, but I hit him right in the face 3 or 4 times hard, and then he beat the snot out of me. But that was the last time he touched me.
Yeah,
because I hit him hard. You know, so it's like, and I'm not saying violence is not the answer, but there's something about the ability to be able to protect yourself and feel like, this is part of life, and it's not. It takes away the fear. It doesn't take away the pain, but it takes away the fear. Where at least you're not scared. Being scared is the worst part.
Yeah.
Where you think you're gonna get killed, you're not gonna get killed. It's
to me, the worst part, it was always after. For like weeks, I'd feel so emasculated.
Okay, for me it was the fear.
Yeah, like violated. I hated that.
Right. Well, because you don't have power. Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The emasculation is you feel like you don't have any power. I remember this one kid that my brother actually this week sent me a Facebook screenshot of this guy who was a bully of mine. He's like, it was under my brother's suggested friends. But this guy used to pick on my brother, and he was 3 years older than me. So he's 5 years older than my brother. And then my brother had a big mouth to be like, well, you know, do whatever you want now because my brother Kurt gets here. He's going to whoop your butt. So then I'd get there and I'd have to fight this guy. It would never go well. But after a few of them, that's the one who pushed me off the bus. I've got these scars on my arms that pushed me out of a bus window. But but there's something about trying to learn how to defend yourself that I think gives you, at least for me, it helped take away the fear, which was the worst part of not knowing what's going to happen. Because you feel like you have some control.
Mm-hmm.
Like something will happen, I'll get punched in the face, and then my life goes on. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that doesn't absolve you as a parent. Push. You're going to have to get in there, and this isn't the answer you're going to want to hear, but you're going to have to get in there and push and try to figure out what's happening because,
like, why wasn't the bus driver doing anything on the bus with your son?
I had tried to have that conversation too, and they're like, well, I'm trying to drive the bus. Well, then maybe this isn't the job for you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this isn't the job. You're not a Lyft driver. You're driving a bus full of disabled people.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So is another disabled person?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But less disabled, right. Mentally less disabled.
Right. Huh.
Like, you know, maybe he had some sort of learning. I don't know. He wasn't autistic, but he had some sort of learning disability. But my son couldn't figure out. My son just was, especially at the time, was just such a sweet boy. He didn't understand that he was even in danger.
Uh-huh.
So the guy would come right up to him and just start hitting him. And he had bite marks on his arm one time. It was like, that was a different time. That I forgot about that one. And then. Yeah, we got a letter that there was a thing and he bit your son and they didn't break the skin. And then I was like, why is this going on and on? And I was like, does this kid have AIDS or something? Or something like, you're trying to tell us he has like a, something. Why do you keep? And then, well, we couldn't talk about that if he does. We couldn't. So I don't know what was happening with that kid.
Jeez.
Because the way they worded it was very like, it was quick and we tried to keep him apart. And it was like, it did not break the skin. I was like, break the skin? What are we talking about? It's like, yeah, so I think you nailed on the head what you talked about earlier is you're not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Oh, another time. Sorry, am I rambling too much?
No, this is good.
Another time. So my son doesn't really talk, but he does do this parroting thing where he repeats back things. So he was about 10. And he would say this phrase, da 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 da, sound like this. And we couldn't figure out what happens. It would get clearer and clearer, and so weeks go on. And then after like 3 weeks, we figured out he's saying, I am stupid. Somebody taught him on the bus to say, I am stupid. Because he had to be on the bus because that's the only time he's unsupervised.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like you could, you know, otherwise he's sitting with an aide the whole time. So then we had to get somebody to ride the bus with him too. So somebody had taught him, I am stupid. And he would say it over and over and over again. It was like very painful.
Oh my God. Sorry, buddy.
I was tempted to go try to, you know, I knew the kid was, but what do you do? I wanted to just go beat the snot out of him. But it's like, you know, that's not the, not the Christian thing to do. That's not the legal thing to do. You can't
you'd go to jail.
Beating up children.
Beating up a handicapped kid.
So, yeah, that to say you're not alone.
Disabled kid, I'm sorry.
Handicapable? Yeah, that to say you're not alone, and there's a lot of us going through this. And I don't feel like JJ, that's one of his things, though. I don't think the bullying thing. I feel like Peter is really kind of stuck in his mind.
Yeah.
And, again, JJ's nonverbal, so we don't know, but. Yeah.
Peter's on antidepressants that are working. I can say that.
That's great. Can you say what he's on? I know people are curious sometimes.
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I don't know. But I could find out. I think I've said it on this podcast. I asked my mother at some point. But yeah, I'll ask her again. But yeah, so that's our week in review. Thank you so much for that letter. I'm going to keep it confidential. But you're a lovely person. Thank you for sharing. And I hope that we helped you in some way. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be discouraged. Yeah. Reach out to the school.
Yeah. Keep. I mean, I'm not a parent. I have no. You know more. This. You guys know more than me.
I wouldn't say like that. I mean, yeah. You might have kids someday. What would you do? So it's like, and I would, and I would see if you think your son has the physical, the mental capability to learn some self-defense, I would definitely put him in boxing or Krav Maga or MMA, like not to spar, not to fight, but just, it'll give him some confidence. I really believe it.
I feel the same way too, but.
And you don't, Partly, it should be comforting in a sense that if the kid was neurotypical, he might also be getting bullied, and I would still recommend the same thing.
Yeah,
do some sort of physical activity so that he can get his head around what's happening, and it takes back some of the power, so you feel like you're not powerless, and people are just beating you.
Mm-hmm. It's tough out there. Tough years, those years.
Yeah, for sure.
Those years in school. Should we do it in the news?
Soon in the news, bud.
Well, this is something to keep an eye out. This is a bit of a change of tack. This is the FDA warns about a... This is on Spectrum News, by the way. The FDA warns about a company marketing stem cells for autism. And then there's a really gross picture, which I don't recommend looking at. Yeah, sorry, it's really hot in my apartment. If you can hear like horns and stuff out there, it's New York City. The windows are open. It's hot in my apartment because I'm on the top floor, and it's mild. It's mild out for winter.
50 degrees.
It's 50 degrees, but the building is like, it's winter, so we're just going to crank it. Yeah. So I've got the windows open. It's even though it's December, and there's honking, and there's a bar below me. And they have this new game they installed in the back patio where it's like a ring game that hangs. And you just let go of the ring, and it hooks on a hook if you shoot it right. But if you miss, which you people miss 100 out of 99,
boom,
it goes. So if you hear that in the background,
it's just a drunk person by themselves playing a ring game during the day at a bar. That's all. And if you're here honking,
welcome
it's
to Brooklyn.
Welcome to Brooklyn, guys. This is a good time to let you guys know you can donate to patreon.com/autastic. Help me get a better apartment in a better neighborhood. patreon.com/autastic. Yep, donate, guys. Get me out of this. All right, this was at spectrumnews.org. U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, we're familiar, has, over the past week, taken multiple action against makers of stem cell products. On the 5th of December, the agency warned California-based Liveon that its approval stem cell products put patients at risk due to the possibility of microbial contamination. That sounds gross. On the 9th of December, the agency issued a safety alert warning the public about unapproved products based on stem cells and exosomes, membrane-bound sacs that shuttle molecules between cells. Gross. Spectrum reported in March that Liveon stem cell products are increasingly being prescribed for autism, even though the therapy is unproven and potentially dangerous. Unproven and potentially
perfect.
Dangerous, guys. The cells are derived from umbilical cord blood that would otherwise be discarded at public hospitals. Doctors inject the products into the blood of autistic children or spray them up children's noses. Oof. For several $1,000 per treatment. Weird.
Oof.
Quacks. It's so funny in 2019 that there's still quacks.
Still people trying to bleach their kids. Please do not do that.
Yes. Jeez. In November of 2018, Liveon voluntarily recalled a batch of contaminated stem cells that sickened at least 17 people in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. At the time, Liveon's chief executive officer, John Kozeltron.
I like really, how I'm the one that can't pronounce names.
I mean, I think I nailed it, to be honest. blame the company's supplier in San Diego-based firm called Genentech. That firm had previously received an FDA warning letter and has since ceased operations after a series of lawsuits. Well, hey, maybe John Kozeltron, you shouldn't use a company that has previously received FDA warning letters. How about that, Johnny boy? After the recall, Liveon opened a subsidiary called Liveon Labs to produce its own stem cell therapies, described on the company's website as being manufactured under the strictest safety guidelines set forth by the FDA. That's funny. It's funny to read this again. These products are sold under the name Liveon Pure. Guys, little hint from old Grandma and Kirky. Not so pure. In the FDA's 5th of December warning to Liveon, the agency said that its inspection of the company several months prior had revealed that Liveon had failed to properly screen stem cell donors for Zika virus.
Oh, God. Perfect.
And combined from two donors, increasing the risk of cross-contamination and mislabeling, and had failed to show that its cleaning procedures prevent microbial contamination. This is from Leah Turner, associate professor of bioethics at the University of Minnesota, says the pure products weren't so pure after all. That's what I said earlier, too.
Captain Obvious.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, let's see. Yeah, so what do you think about that, Kirk?
I think it's some of it sounds kind of obvious, but it needs to be said.
So you've always been against the stem cell stuff.
I think we have to be careful of that stuff, and I think it's in the early stages. And so, yeah, I'm not a fan right now. I mean, the next thing that, I mean, the stem cell articles we covered is what we covered CRISPR, that thing that goes in and modifies your DNA. Just because it's unless Jill, jump on me if I'm wrong and send us your audio note if I miss this, but it sounds like it goes down the path towards eugenics where it's like you edit out certain traits. And so we've covered this before. Autism.
You're speaking about Jill Escher, our Rover reporter.
Yes, who is also works doing funding for genetic research.
So and is very, very, very well educated and versed in this. Basically has the knowledge of a scientist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is... It's just depressing that in this day and age they still will, you know, these desperate parents and they
you're preying on people's desperation.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just gross. It's just gross, and you know that they're quacks because they're just they're doing it as cheap as possible.
Yeah,
they're using shady suppliers, and you know, I mean, Zika virus. We don't need that. It's just tough, you know, your kids too, you feel like you have limited time, you have to act now, you know, the older it is, the harder for if this stuff works.
Yeah, your success ratio is obviously much higher the sooner you catch it.
But your kid's not a guinea pig, that's the, you know.
And you can make things worse, or you could kill your kid, people die. You know, the bleaching thing, people have died from that.
Yeah, people trust people in lab coats.
Oh, it's the worst. Although the guy in the lab coat does sell me the best beef.
What's that study? I forget what it's called. I learned about this in... Psychology 101 is that they had that study. A guy comes in with a lab coat and goes, the person in the next room is attached to the electrical chair, and you know, twist this.
Not electric chair, but they're attached to electricity. Yeah,
electricity.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
If you know, number 10 will kill them, yes. And 9 out of 10 people will change it to number 10, switch it to number 10.
9 out of 10 could kill them, yes.
Yes. And 9 out of 10 of the or like 7 out of 10 of the people.
They trust the guy who says it's going to be fine.
And they don't even say he's a doctor. He just walks in with a lab coat.
Right.
So don't trust.
Trust but verify.
Yes.
I think that's the first time we've quoted Reagan on this podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You said that to good old Gorbachev about the nukes. Wow, we really got off the tangent.
Perestroika.
There you go.
There you go.
The guy with the wine stain on his head. Mm-hmm. Did we do it?
I think we did it.
Guys, we appreciate your love, your support, your letters. That's what makes this podcast go. You're not alone. This isn't a field of dreams we're living in, but you're not alone.
Certainly not. It is a man's studio apartment that we're living in.
With noisy neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Check me out on Instagram. My name is Kirk Smith Comedy. I think I forgot to plug it last week. Now I think about it. And you can add me on that. Facebook, the old Twitter. I'm almost off Twitter, but haven't done the TikTok yet. Don't trust the Chinese. And come see a show.
Government.
Graham, where can they catch
Chinese
you?
Chinese government.
Chinese government, yes, of course. Yeah. Chinese people
Chinese
are beautiful.
Are fine people. Great culture. You can find me at Instagram K on Instagram and Mr. Graham K on Twitter. I'm getting back on the tweet game, baby.
Boom.
And be my Facebook friend. And guys... Patreon.com/autastic. Do it now. It's cheap. It's fun. It's fun to donate. And also, it's the spirit of giving. It's Christmas. So, you know, if you believe in God, you should probably donate.
Oh, harsh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I was going after my family directly. That felt personal. All right,
no,
guys.
No, they've given enough to you over the years.
You have no idea. I'm like their full-time ministry. Guys, have a great week. You can do it.
Thanks so much for listening, guys.